During the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel, approximately 250 people were kidnapped and taken to Gaza. Among them were men and women, children, elderly, and soldiers. From among all the hostages, the Bibas family became a symbol of all the Israeli hostages around the world. For over a year, we've been holding our breath, waiting for the Bibas children and their parents to come home. The images of those two young boys with their striking orange hair, 4-year-old Ariel and 10-month-old Kafir, gave us hope that one day, all the hostages would return safely. Supporters around the world wore orange at rallies and on social media to draw attention to their plight. On Kafir's first birthday, hundreds gathered in Tel Aviv, holding orange balloons to highlight the two boys' captivity. In August of 2024, the annual Redhead Days festival in the Netherlands transformed into a rally calling for Ariel and Kafir's release. 10,000 participants learned about the young children and demanded Hamas set them free. In their short lives, Ariel and Kafir Bibas have united Jews around the world, as we prayed and hoped and demonstrated and begged and pleaded for their return. Over 1,200 people were murdered on that fateful day, and hundreds of soldiers later fell in battle, and thousands more were injured. So why do the Bibas boys stand out among all the other casualties? So I'd like to share with you a fascinating idea from Ras Soloveitchik. In the kinnis that we read on Tisha B'Av, the lamentations commemorating the tragic suffering of our people throughout the ages, we find something remarkable. Yirmiyahu HaNavi composed a special kinnah mourning the tragic killing of Yeshayahu. Ask Ras Soloveitchik, why do we pause our mourning for millions of Jewish martyrs throughout history to focus on the story of one lone individual? Says Ras Soloveitchik, when we reflect on the magnitude of Jewish lives lost throughout our history, the sheer number is overwhelming. It's staggering. It's nearly impossible to quantify. However, paradoxically, the greater the number of lives lost, the harder it becomes to truly grasp the depth of our grief. So we dedicate an entire kinnah to Yeshayahu, one lone Jew, to remind us that the loss of millions is not an abstract statistic. It is one plus one, plus one, plus one. Each life is a world unto itself. Each life is unique and irreplaceable. Every yid is an olam mele. Every yid is an entire universe. There's a well-known aphorism attributed to the Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin. He once said, "The death of one man is a tragedy. The death of millions is a statistic." But this seems counterintuitive. If the death of one person is a catastrophe, then surely mass murder is an even greater tragedy. But in reality, the opposite is true. Why does the loss of a single person often impact us more deeply than the loss of thousands? We remember the names Daniel Pearl, Ari Fold, Leiby Kletzky, Gilad Shalit, Rabbi Tzvi Kogan, and the Bibas boys will be seared into our consciousness for all eternity. But most people cannot recall the names of the Munich Olympic massacre victims, or those who perished in the Sabaro bombing, or the Kedoshim of Miron. And the question is, if every life is precious, we might expect to feel twice as much sympathy for two victims as for one, and 1,000 times as much for 1,000 victims. Yet, we often have more sympathy for a single individual victim. So here's a tremendous lesson in human psychology. When only one person is affected, it becomes personal, and we can relate to their story. We learn every intimate detail about their life and the circumstances that led to their demise. However, when many victims are involved, it's impossible to know all the personal details of each one of them, and thus, our emotional response is diminished. Over the last 500 days, we davened, we posted pictures of the hostages, we had extra kavanah during the bracha of Matar Asurim. However, due to the sheer volume, we didn't really get to know their names or their backgrounds or their personal histories. Just recently, when only a few hostages were released every week, the anticipation allowed us to learn more about them. And some of them have since become household names. Names like Mia Shem and Noah Argamani. Who can forget the senseless killing of Hersh Polin or the tremendous emuna displayed by Gam Berger? But the name that was constantly in our minds were those red-headed Bibas boys. Millions around the world were hoping against hope to see their smiles again. Had they returned alive, the nation would have felt a profound sense of nachama, but it was not to be. Despite all our tefillos, despite our kabbalas, Hashem had other plans. On Thursday, the world received the tragic news that Ariel and Kafir and their mother were murdered in Gaza by those barbaric, ruthless animals. The Medrash Talpios writes that there's a special, specific chamber in Gan Eden which includes an image of all those who were killed at Kiddush Hashem. And every day, Mashiach enters inside that chamber and he sees the images of all those who gave up their life. He then raises his voice like a lion until all the tzaddikim in Gan Eden shudder. And Hashem Kaviyachol sheds two tears, reminiscent of the pasuk, Kael Nekames Hashem, Kael Nekames Afia. Hashem himself will personally avenge their blood. The Rekeach writes that there are seven rows directly before the Shechina Akdoisha. And those who are killed at Kiddush Hashem are seated in the first row, even in front of the tzaddikim. Hashem is personally watching them. Ultimately, we don't know and we don't understand the ways of Hashem. We cannot say that such a tragedy happened because of this reason or that reason. The Arizal says that just about all of our souls are reincarnated from previous lives. So we cannot be certain that this tragedy occurred because of any misdeeds that have been committed in our day. We are not new souls. We are not in this world for the first time. It could very well be that in a previous lifetime, a person was a tzaddik, but was lacking in a certain area. And as a result, the neshama had to descend again to this world, and was then killed at Kiddush Hashem, and their soul ascended to its rightful place in Gan Eden. And with that, I'd like to share with you a fascinating story about the Maral. One Friday morning, a woman approached him with a question pertaining to a chicken she had intended to cook for Shabbos. The chicken had sustained a leg injury, and she was unsure if it rendered it a treifa or not. The Maral told her that at the edge of the city of Perag lived a 9-year-old boy. The woman should go to him, and he will rule about the status of the chicken. The woman was a little surprised, but who can question the holy Maral? She approached the home where the young boy lived. The mother opens up the door, and the woman holding the chicken relayed what the Maral had instructed her to do. And the mother says, "Are you making fun of me? Our son is deaf and mute. He has never uttered a single word in his life. How will he be able to give you a ruling on this chicken?" So she said, "I came here just as the Maral told me to do so." And as soon as they heard that the Maral had instructed the woman to come, they acquiesced. The young boy was sitting in the corner of the room. The woman approached the boy and she handed him the chicken, and he began examining it. They all stood nearby, curious to see what the boy would do. After examining the chicken, the boy says, "Kosher." The woman thanked the boy, elated that she had what to cook for Shabbos. And as the woman turned to leave, they suddenly heard a thud, and they saw that the boy had collapsed dead on the floor. The boy had uttered one word in his life, "Kosher," and then he died. The woman quickly returned to the Maral, and before saying anything, the Maral said, I know. I will explain later exactly what happened." The Levi was arranged for that day, and the entire city was in attendance. After the burial, the Maral announced that everyone should make their way to the shul. He had a message to share. The Maral got up to the podium, and he said, "You're all wondering what happened today. A woman came to ask me a shaila in halacha. I sent her to a young boy. He rendered it kosher, and then he died. So what does this all mean?" So he said, "If you remember, 9 years ago, a particular rabbi lived in this city." And everyone nodded. Yeah, they remember. He was both a tzaddik and a talmid chacham. One Friday, he was on his way to the mikveh, and a woman approached him. She had a chicken, and she was unsure if it was kosher or not. Caught off guard and distracted by his focus on walking to the mikveh, the rabbi ruled that the chicken was not kosher. And the poor woman threw out the chicken, and her family went hungry for Shabbos. And the truth was that the chicken was kosher, but in the rabbi's haste to the mikveh, ruled incorrectly. Sometime later, the rabbi passed away. In Shemayim, everything is precisely calculated to the very last detail. Therefore, this rabbi who ruled that the chicken was not kosher needed to rectify his neshama. And as such, he was sent back to this world. The problem was that should he return to this world, there would be a chance that he would commit more averas. So in order to avoid that, he asked that he be protected by being born as someone who was deaf and mute, so he would not be held culpable and commit any sins. This 9-year-old boy, said the Maral, was the Gilgal of that great rabbi who passed away 9 years ago. When the woman brought the chicken to the boy, it was the opportunity for this soul to be rectified. And that is why I informed the woman to seek out this boy. Once he uttered the word kosher, his neshama completed its rectification and returned to heaven. What a story. Mishpatei Hashem emes. The judgments of Hashem is precise. We have complete faith that he knows exactly what he's doing. As these holy neshamas ascend to heaven, we urge them to ask Hashem, Asei leman tenoike shel beis rabban. Asei leman yoike shedayim shelay chatu. Asei leman gemulei chalav shelay pashu. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring nechama to a nation that needs to be comforted. And may all the people that need a Yeshua receive it bekarav. And now, we know. Have a wonderful day.